The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark.
Glory to you, Lord.
Jesus said to the crowds, "This is how it is with the kingdom of God. It is as if a man were to scatter seed on the land and would sleep and rise night and day, and through it all the seed would sprout and grow, he knows not how. Of its own accord, the land yields fruit, first the blade, then the ear, then the full grain in the ear. And when the grain is ripe, he wields the sickle at once, for the harvest has come." He said, "To what shall we compare the kingdom of God? Or what parable can we use for it? It is like a mustard seed, that when it is sown in the ground, it is the smallest of all the seeds of the earth. But once it is sown, it springs up and becomes the largest of plants, and puts forth large branches, so that the birds of the sky can dwell in its shade." With many such parables, he spoke the word to them as they were able to understand it. Without parables, he did not speak to them, but to his own disciples, he explained everything in private. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. St. Paul tells us that in the second reading today, it says we walk by faith and not by sight. Well, what does that mean? What does he mean? We walk by faith and not by sight. Well, in some sense, we know that means that, you know, we haven't seen the final picture, so to speak. We haven't seen the final act of the drama of human history that is to come, where Jesus will return in glory. We know that. That's one aspect of that. But he's also speaking to the believers in Corinth, in the Roman Empire. A time, of course, in the early church, as we know, when it was difficult to be a Christian, very difficult because the Roman Empire was persecuting the believers. Not that that hasn't changed in some sense in different parts of the world, but certainly was the case in the entire church in the Roman Empire. So for these believers, it was difficult, as it is for us sometimes, to see how things were working out. How was God at work in the world? How was he working all these things out? When, as believers, they were suffering. They were having a really difficult time in many cases. Their homes were confiscated, their possessions, their churches, the liturgical. We know from the documents and the writings of the early church fathers that the Roman authorities would come in and, you know, if they had a church in the home or wherever it was, they would confiscate the liturgical vessels and the books, the gospel books and things like that, and again, arrest the leaders. So how was God working? That was a question that was often in the minds of early believers. We know, for instance, that the entire Gospel of Mark is written initially to the Christians in Rome, who were, again, being severely persecuted. And if you read St. Mark's Gospel, if you read it in its entirety, in that knowledge, you begin to see things pop out. You begin to see how Jesus is talking to the believers through the Gospel about their sufferings and their difficulties and the challenges of being a Christian. Well, we know to some extent all of us believers go through times of difficulty. So we walk by faith, not by sight. Now, that doesn't mean that somehow, okay, some people do this, they walk by sight, they've got it all figured out, it's before them, or they walk by reason alone, and then there's us Christians who walk by sight, by faith rather. That's not the case. We see the things the world sees. We understand and experience the world and many of its aspects like anybody else, just like anybody other human being. However, when St. Paul says we walk by faith and not by sight, it means that our primary orientation, our primary perspective, if you will, is through faith. We don't ignore reason. In fact, St. John Paul II, when he was Pope, wrote an encyclical called Faith and Reason. And in that encyclical, he says that faith and reason are not contradictory, as some would present it in our world today and say, well, people that have faith, they're kind of crazy. They just don't get it. They're irrational and emotional, and they reject science and they reject reason, not at all. St. John Paul II said, no, as believers, as Catholics in particular, our whole tradition is one where faith and reason walk side by side. We don't ignore science. We don't ignore reason. We don't ignore facts. It's not like we're living in the clouds and we're ignoring reality. Not at all. No, there's a harmony between the two. But unlike those, the secular people in the world, simply walking by what they can see and touch and hear and taste. And we don't accept that. We see that there is a dimension to life that is way beyond all the things we can see and taste and touch. Faith, love, you know, all the virtues that we live by. And we know that we're in a time in our culture when our culture is, in many ways, rejecting those things that we could say in philosophy are metaphorical. They're beyond the physical, the virtues, the values that for us as Christians are essential, that help us in our faith. St. Thomas Aquinas says, faith builds on reason, on nature. And what does he mean by that? It means that the more that we train up our natural selves in the virtues, the more we learn perseverance, the more we learn patience, the more we learn whatever gifts God has given us, the more God's grace can work on our lives. And that's why, for example, when people who have come out of an experience of life where perhaps, again, in the home, they were not taught anything of faith, that they maybe there was great dysfunction or trauma in the family, maybe there was addiction and abuse or whatever it may be, and somehow they come into that personal relationship with Jesus, they come into that conversion moment with God, and life changes for them, and that's wonderful, but they find it very difficult subsequently to live that life of faith. Why? Well, like St. Thomas says, faith builds on nature. You know, their nature, their natural self was not trained up in virtue. And so it's a battle. It's a struggle. And so therefore, those people who were not raised in the faith or maybe not raised in a virtuous home, they're going to have a little bit more difficult time. But I'll tell you this, they're going to appreciate the Christian life all the more, sometimes more than us who had the blessing of being raised in a Christian household. Sometimes we just take it for granted, don't we? Where the person that had to struggle, the person that had to fight for it, the person that realized the contrast between the truth and darkness and saw, I can't live in that darkness anymore. I got to live in the truth. I got to battle. I got to struggle. There's a deep appreciation for what God does in their life. And that's exactly what St. Thomas Aquinas says. And that's what walking by faith means, that we see the goal. We listen to the word of God today. We know what God has been saying to us in his word, and we live towards that ideal, and it's not easy to do that. As often I've said in spiritual direction, you know, when people are having a struggle and they're doubting, they're having doubts, I often tell them the story of St. Therese of Lisieux, statue of St. Therese in our sanctuary. And when she was dying, here this holy young woman, 24 years of age, dying of tuberculosis in the 19th century, there was no cure for tuberculosis. It was a very painful, difficult suffering. And death. There was no cure. And she's laying there in the convent and she's struggling and she's having doubts. Is there a heaven? Am I going to heaven? And this is a woman who's lived and dedicated her entire life to God. And so in her letters that she writes at the end of her life to her sister, who was happened to be the Mother Superior of the convent where she was, she writes to her sister Pauline and says, since I cannot trust what I feel, because she had all these doubts and struggles, she said, I will trust in what I know to be true. She knew God loved her. She knew God had made a way for her. She knew God was working in the midst of her sufferings, despite her emotional struggles to see it all. And that's what sustained her. And that's walking by faith. And what we have to do sometimes, to trust in what God has spoken to us. And again, the readings address that. The first reading today from the letter of the prophet Ezekiel, the book of the prophet Ezekiel. Ezekiel was a priest in the temple in Jerusalem. And he was living at a time when the Babylonians took over the nation of Israel, the southern kingdoms, and took them away into exile. It was a disaster from the outward, from every human perspective, this was a cataclysmic, just unbelievable disaster. In fact, when you read back through the scriptures and the writers and the rabbis, that moment in their history seemed to be the darkest of all. And yet here is Ezekiel saying, God has a plan. I'm going to take the little cutting from the tree, the lofty tree. Well, that was Israel. She had been cut down because of her arrogance and her sin and turning away from God and offending God. God had said, all right, then you're on your own. And the Babylonians came in and took them off to exile. And that was a purifying experience. Again, something that only a person by faith can see when difficulties come. We can see more than just a disaster. We can see God is at work. He's got a plan. It's a purifying thing. And Ezekiel prophesies to them and says, look, he's going to take that little shoot off that big old tree that was cut down, and he's going to plant it on a lofty mountain. And they all knew what he was talking about. They were talking about the nation Israel. And God had a plan. It wasn't all over. And even the image, and we see Jesus uses that same image in the gospel today. The birds of the air will come to rest in it. That was an ancient image. Everybody knew what he was talking about, Ezekiel and Jesus, from the old world. And that meant all the nations would come and find rest and wisdom and all those good things in the nation of Israel. The nation would rise again, and it did. It did. 5 centuries after Ezekiel, the prophet Ezekiel, Jesus says in the gospel, this is how it is with the kingdom of God. It is as if a man were to scatter seed on the land and would sleep and rise night and day, and through it all the seed would sprout and grow. He knows not how. Now you may say, well, we know how all that happens. We know more about science. Okay, you may do, but you don't know it all. And you don't see beyond what Jesus is talking about. He's using a metaphor. Just as the farmer trusts that when he plants that seed, that the natural forces are going to take place, and that seed is going to sprout and grow and produce a harvest. And he's saying to us, that's the kingdom. That's the kingdom of God. God has a plan. We don't know how it's coming about. We don't know how all these things happen. But it does. God will take care of it. Not only that, we can even say that the mustard seed is Christ himself. And those early Christians who were suffering and having difficulties, they could look to the crucifix. They could look to the stories of the gospel. And they could see that Christianity began in that same way, in the midst of what seemed hopeless, depressing, and that all was lost. And yet, out of the midst of the cross, Jesus rises again and sends his Spirit and empowers his church, his disciples, to bring the gospel into the world. And that's the true for us as well today. A number of years ago, I was at a conference in Phoenix, Arizona. I was invited to go to a conference about evangelization. We were gathered there. It was a very fruitful time. There was people from all over the world, not only in the United States, from all over the world there, and many wonderful speakers. And I remember just one afternoon, it was around lunchtime, I was standing in front of a kiosk reading some of the posters and information that some of the groups from all over the place had posted about what's going on, events coming up, you know, that kind of a thing. And this little tiny man kind of walked up to me, a very short man. I didn't notice him at first. And he said, hello, Father. And I said, well, hello. And I could see he was a priest, too. And I said, hello, Father, how are you? And I introduced myself, and he introduced himself, said, my name is Father Bernard. And I said, well, that's very nice to meet you. And he says, where do you come from? I said to him. He says, well, I work with Mother Teresa of Calcutta. Boop, I could almost dropped over at that point. And he said, I would love to come and visit your church, Father. And I was living in the Flint area, working in evangelization at the community at the time. I would like to come and visit your church, Father. And I said, well, Father, you'd always be welcome. Just call me, let me know ahead of time when you're coming, and I'll pick you up at the airport, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So about a month passed, didn't hear anything. Then one day, one morning, I get this call. Hi, Father, it's Father Bernard. I'm here at the airport in Toledo. Whoa. I said, Father, it's going to take me a little while. He was not aware of the distances in the United States totally. So it took me a little while to get there, but I picked him up at the airport. And on the way home, it was very interesting. On the way home, he told me some stories about Mother. He had been one of the first priests to work with her. She, in fact, had chosen him. She felt the Holy Spirit wanted him to work with her very closely. So he had known her from the very beginning. And Father Bernard started to tell me some stories about Mother's early life. Now, we all know Mother Teresa because she's famous. She founded the Missionaries of Charity. She was all over the world giving talks, very beautiful. But he said to me at one point, he said, Father, everybody knows that about Mother, but that's not the way it always was. He says, when she first started, when I first worked with her in India, everybody thought she was nuts. Everybody thought she was crazy. They didn't want anything to do with her. Even the religious communities and many of the priests and some of the bishops did not want anything to do with her. And I'll never forget this. He said, Father, she spent many days, many evenings alone, rejected, in tears. But, and this is the big difference here, she said, but she persevered. She knew God had called her. She knew God had called her, and she was going to stick it out. And then he said, slowly, some of her former students in India joined her. And slowly, the order began to grow. But I'm always struck when I think about that story in Father Bernard. I always think she persevered. It wasn't easy, but she persevered. And maybe we find ourselves in that kind of situation right now. It's not easy for us. Maybe there's some real difficulties. And so the Word of God today is encouraging us, persevere, trust in God, turn to Him, continue to pray, seek out wisdom. If you need help, seek out help. Whatever it is you need to do in order to persevere. The Word of God says we walk by faith and not by sight. But that's such a blessing, to walk by faith, because you and I have the privilege of seeing how God does the miraculous and does the wonderful and takes what seemingly is hopeless or difficult or a struggle and turns it and molds us and changes us and strengthens us and then produces fruit out of our lives, like the gospel says, and the ear of the corn produces fruit, you know, et cetera, et cetera. And that's what God is doing in our lives today. He's raining down on us. He's sending the sun. He's growing the ear of grain. The harvest is still a ways. But He's doing what He needs to do in our lives today. So let's pray for one another and ask the Lord to help each of us to persevere and continue to walk by faith. God bless you.